Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Ksubas Daf Ayin. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System approach provided on the sidebar of our homepage and then go to Option 2. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief formatted introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. Today we have the good fortune, with the help of the one above, of beginning the new perek, the seventh perek of Ksubas. On the side of the Gemara, we have a Nosei Mivneh heading, because as you look in the Gemara itself, you'll see that we've marked off a series of diamonds in the Mishnah. And on the side, we've written Hamadir. That's the word we've highlighted. Dugmois Shoinois Shel Hamadir Es Ishto. Different examples of a husband vowing vows that relate to his wife, the chilukim in medubar b'kayin of Israel. Then we'll see in the course of the Mishnah at times a distinction made between a husband who is a kohen versus one who is a Yisrael. The Mishnah, hamadir es ishto milahono slo, one who forbids his wife to benefit from him through a vow. Rashi points out that this particular vow does not cover prohibiting her from benefiting from his conjugal relations, as a husband is expected to provide intimacy to his wife. That he cannot vow to prevent in this form. However, he vows to prohibit his wife from receiving other benefits from him. The Gemara will ask, well, how can that be? He's obligated to support her. Nevertheless, the Mishnah says, Ad shloishim yoim yamid parnas. Up till 30 days, we appoint an intermediary, someone who will support her. Now, at first glance, it appears that he's working as an agent for the husband, but that involves ourselves with problems. How in the world can she benefit through his agent if we say that agency is like the individual himself? And he forswore benefit from her. So the Mishnah, though, says that we set up a parnas, an agent, for the purpose of supporting her. Yes, sir, mikan, beyond the 30-day mark, yotzi v'tein ksuba, is to divorce her and provide her with the ksuba payment. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, b'Yisrael chodesh echad yikayim u'shnayim yotzi v'tein ksuba. If the husband is a Yisrael, so they'll maintain their marriage for 1 month, but for 2 months, he would have to divorce her and give her the ksuba. But if the husband is a Kohen, whereupon divorcing her, he doesn't have the option of taking her back, as a Kohen is forbidden to marry a divorced woman, even if it's his own divorcee. So we don't want to disband the marriage so quickly, so we say they will, if the vow is, let's say, a two-month period, so they stay together, but three, he must divorce her and pay her the ksuba. Hamadir is ishto shelo titoim echod mikol haperos. A person who vows that his wife shall not be able to taste or eat from a particular fruit. Rashi says, Echod mikol haperos koinim pri ploni olai v'hu kiyem lo. That's a case where the woman vows not to eat, let us say, an apple, and he sustains, he verifies, he confirms that vow. So if that happens, yotzi v'tein ksuba, he is to divorce her and she receives a ksuba payment. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, b'Yisrael yoim echod yikayim shnayim yotzi. Rabbi Yehuda, again, like we saw before, he makes a distinction between a husband that's a Yisrael, and if the vow is for 1 day, so they stick it out, and if it's for 2 days, then she's divorced and he pays her the ksuba b'koyin. Shnayim yikayim shlosha yotzi v'yitein ksuba. If it's a Kohen husband, then if it's a vow for 2 days, they will stick it out. But if it's for 3 days, he then divorces her and pays her the ksuba. Hamadi resishto shelo tiskashi bechod mikol haminim. A vow where the woman says she vows not to use a certain type of cosmetic. And he validates or confirms that vow. Yotzi v'iten ksuba, is to divorce her and pay the ksuba. Rabbi Yossi Omer, banios shelo nosan kitzva. In the case of the poor, if no amount of time was stated how long this prohibition will last, then he is to divorce her and pay the ksuba. But if a certain, if an amount of time was set, so then we wait till that time lapses. Ubashirois shloishim yom. When it comes to women of wealth who are accustomed putting cosmetics on, of adorning themselves, then if the vow is up till 30 days, so they will stick it out. But if it's more than that, then we insist on the divorce and the payment of the ksuba. But on the side of the Gemara, there are no say, mivne heading, you'll see a geometric form resembling a volcano, or more accurately, it's referred to as a trapezoid, and it will appear in alternating directions. So we've called this a ma'akav, a means of keeping track of the give and take of the Gemara. With the cone or the narrow part facing upwards, they represent kushios. The inverted shape refers to tshuvos, responses. Kedei levarer echal haneder. How can such a vow take hold? B'misha hidrus ishtim lanoslo. A husband, regarding a husband that vowed that his wife cannot benefit from him, achrei shu'u mishubod la lemezonos, after he is in fact bound to provide her with mizonos. So we have two opposite forces here. We have on the one hand his a vow being made, which is there to prevent her from benefiting from the husband. And on the other hand, we have a pre-existing obligation that he must provide support and benefit to his wife. The Gemara opens with a long question, which we've marked off accordingly. The Kevon de Meshubid Law, since the husband is bound to support her with mizonos, Heichi Motzi Madir Law, how can he issue a vow that would take hold against her? Kol Kamine de Mifka Law Lishibuda, does he have the power to undo, to void the obligation? V'atanan. There's an example where we see an obligation, a pre-existing obligation, and as a result, the vow taken in this other case will not take hold. This is a topic we've learned in the past. A woman vows, konam sheini oisilapicha. A woman vows not to provide her income to her husband. Eino tzorech lafer. A husband doesn't have to he doesn't have to pay attention to that vow. The eino tzorech lafer means he doesn't have to void it. In general, the halacha is that women who vow, if the vow is to, the husband has a right regarding wives' vows to be made for them, to absolve her of the vows if he indicates this as soon as he hears of it. But a vow that is counter to a pre-existing obligation that she has, he doesn't have to even bother absolving it. It doesn't get off the ground. Almo kevan de mishabda lei. We see from here, since she is bound to him, she must provide the husband with her income. Lav kol kamino de mifka lei l'shivude. It's not within her power to undo her obligation through a vow. So by the same token, in our Mishnah, came under Mishubad law, the husband is bound to provide her with benefit, with support, with mizonos, with a food provision. So lav kol kamine de mifka law the shibuda. It's not within his power to cancel a pre-existing obligation. Ella. So we offer a response to that question. How can we explain the Mishnah that the vow takes hold? Ella, mitoich sheyocho loymar lo. Since a husband can say to his wife, tsi ma'asei yodayech b'mezonosayach, you take your income in exchange for the food that I would provide you, and basically support yourself. So since he can say that, not, the Gemara continues at the top of Omid Beis, Nase Ke'oimer Lo, when he vows to prevent her from benefiting from him, it's then viewed as if, and we emphasize here with our markings the expression Nase Ke'oimer Lo. This marking is important for later in the Gemara. It therefore is as if, even without actually saying it, it's as if he's saying to her, Tzi ma'aseh yodayech b'mezonosayach. So that when he vows to, he says he that he prevents his wife from benefiting from him, it's understood that this is part of that arrangement. The Gemara asks a question. If this is the way we're to view the Mishnah, that we will, let us say, understand the unstated. If that's so, v'im Esau, if, let us say, let us accept, and by the way, note that this is a long question. If we accept the following teaching of Rav Huna Amarav, we will then present a problem. What's the teaching of Rav Huna Amarav? The Yom Rav Huna Amarav, Yecholu Isha Shetoymer LaBayla, a woman has the right to dictate to her husband, Eini Mizainis Veini Oysa, I refuse your food support, and in exchange for my foregoing your food support, Vieniosa, I'm not going to provide you with my income. So that we have the woman with regard to her income, she will say she's in the driver's seat to establish what arrangement she wants. So let us accept that for the time being, that teaching of Rav Huna Amarav. Then the case we cited before, Koinom Sheani Oysu Lepicha, the woman who vows not to provide her husband with her income. We just learned this. Amai Enot Tzor Chalofer, why in the source, in the Tanaic source, did it say that the husband doesn't even have to bother absolving that vow? Lema, why not apply the same logic as we did before and say, Mitoich sheyachoylo loymar eini mizeinis veini oisa, because of the potential for her to dictate thusly, Naase kimi shomer aslo eini mizeinis veini oisa, that when she vowed, Koinim shani oisa labicha, when she said, she said to her husband, I am not providing you with my income. Why not explain that part of that vow is the understood, the unstated, that I don't want your mezonos, and therefore I'm going to keep my maisiyadayim. And since she could have said that, the vow that she takes, that she's not going to provide her husband with her income, that is a function of her forfeiting the mezonos support that he provides to her. And as a result of that, her forfeiting, her foregoing of what he gives to her, she keeps her own income. And with that, the vow would then take hold. And if the vow takes hold, why does the source say he doesn't have to be mefer? He should have to be mefer if he wants the vow to be canceled. What do you mean before we said, the vow is it's a non-starter because she's obligated? Who says she's obligated? Does she not have the potential of saying Eini Nizainis Veini Oisa like Rav Huna Amarav says? So, just to review the problem here. We explained our Mishnah, how the vow takes place, because the husband has the power of saying Tzi Maaseh Yodayech B'Mezonosayach. And we said before that that was the explanation of the Mishnah, so that the unstated is viewed as if it is there. Well, if the unstated is viewed as it is there, then that the other Tanaic source doesn't make sense. Why does it say in that other source of Kainim where the woman made the vow that the husband doesn't have to absolve it? If the potential for saying something is viewed as actual, then he should have to, if he doesn't want the vow to take hold, he should have to absolve it. He should have to be mafer it, because the vow does take hold otherwise. So the Gemara answers, we have to explain our Mishnah. Eloloi teimo, don't explain our Mishnah na'aseh, that it's viewed as if, ela, but in our Mishnah ba'omer lo, he told her explicitly, tsi ma'aseh yodayech bemezonosayech, keep your own income from which you will support yourself. That is the case of the Mishnah. So that the husband isn't, let us say, through the vow, abrogating a pre-existing obligation, namely to support her, because with regard to his supporting her, he has the power to present this option, keep your income in exchange for the support that I would have given you. Since that was stated actually, the neder takes hold, the vow takes hold. The Gemara asks, "Hachi parnas lomal." If that's the case of the Mishnah, that she's supporting herself, what's the need of this agent or this intermediary to support her in the interim? She supports herself. Answer: Bidalo sofka. Her income is not sufficient to support herself. The Gemara asks, "Hachi bidalo sofka." If it's a case where she is incapable through her income of supporting herself, Hadar kushyan leduchtei. The original question, returns to its place, which means we haven't accomplished anything. The husband is still duty-bound to support her. And if he's duty-bound to support her, how does the vow take hold? He can't vow against his obligation. Omer Avashi, b'misapekes lidvorem gedoilim, v'eino misapekes lidvorem ketanem. Her income is capable of supporting her main needs, but not the small needs. The Gemara now analyzes, Hani dvorem ketanem hechi domi. What's the nature of these small things? Either regila bahu, if it's something she's accustomed to, she's regular in, ha regila bahu, she's a regular in benefiting from those things, so he is bound to provide those for her. The lo regila bahu, and if she's not accustomed to these whatever small things are, parnas lomala, when then what's the need of having this intermediary in providing them? The Gemara answers, lo tsrichano, it is necessary to be taught. The case of the on the one hand the vow takes hold, on the other hand you need the parnas, the regila, the beis nosha, she was accustomed to these small things while still a single woman. Beis nosha means in her father's house. The ka megalgula bahade, and she was while with her husband, she was managing, literally rolling with it, like we say rolling with the punches. She was rolling with the husband. The omra le, she was saying as follows: Ado idno delo adrisan. Until now, that our relationship was good, that you didn't have make any vows against me. Galgilno bahadoch, I was able to roll along with you. Hashto de adrisan. Now that you vowed, you've created this distance between us. Lo motzina de galgabadoch, I can't roll along with you anymore. Which is her reason for now. She really needs those small things. And regarding those things, so the parnas will take care. And as far as the husband having an obligation, well, she, while they were married, while they were in, let's say, in good straits, so she didn't need the things to begin with. The Gemara asks, Umay shno ad shloishim yom, what's the significance of the Mishnah teaching that up till 30 days we rely on the parnas? The Gemara answers, Up till 30 days, people won't hear of this. And it's not a source of embarrassment for her. Of course, you see insights here into what is at the, we'll say, at the root of women's of a woman's psyche when it comes to a manageable relationship with her husband. So that as long as things are kept quiet, she'll deal with it, so to speak. She'll manage. She can overcome the pain involved. However, once you reach the 30-day mark, Tfei, after 30 days, Shami Bo Inchi, Tfei means more than 30 days, people then hear of the vow that her husband had made against her, Vazila Bo Milsa, that is a source of shame for her, and we can't expect a woman to endure a life of shame. So we say, as the Mishnah says, he has to divorce her and give her the ksuba. Another approach. Now you notice we have a number two here. So this number two follows the number one. What was the number one coming to deal with? It was an answer. It was a response as to how can the man's neder take hold? How can his vow take hold when he has a pre-existing obligation? So the second approach to that is Shehedira Kishihi Aruda. He made the vow when they had only entered their first stage of marriage, the Erusin stage. They had not yet consummated their marriage. And what's significant about that? The significance is that they haven't, since they haven't consummated the marriage, that gives room for the vow to take hold. The Gemara asks, Arusa mi isla mizoni? Does an Arusa get mizonos from the husband to begin with? That we should say that there's the need for setting up a parnas. A parnas that set up the intermediary to provide her with parnosa. The Gemara says, Shehigia Zman Velonisu. Disnan. This is a teaching, a law that we've seen quite a bit earlier in the Masechta, we saw it a few times even, that the Erusin stage is at most a 12-month period of time before the husband can insist on consummating the marriage. Now, let's be a little more accurate. After the Erusin, there is a point of time at which the husband says, I want to now consummate the marriage with Nisuin. From that point, we call it Mishal Shetova. From the point he summons her for Nisuin, she has 12 months to arrange her wedding needs for the consummation of the marriage. What has happened here in our Mishnah is that the time lapsed, the 12 months lapsed. Midoraisa, he is not bound to support her, even though the time has lapsed because she hasn't consummated the marriage with him. Rabbinically, though, he is expected to feed her. So, if you're asking how can the neder take hold, and how are we simultaneously talking about a situation where she is to receive mizonos, and that's why there's a need for a parnos, this is the case. Shigiyazman velonisu disnan, as we've learned, higiyazman velonisu, if a couple reached their time for the nisuin and didn't actually go ahead with it, with the marriage canopy and the first intimacy, then oichlois mishaloi, the woman is entitled to receive support from the husband, the oichlois betruma. And if the husband is a Kohen, she is entitled to eat truma. So it's at this point that he made the vow. What's the significance of 30 days? You notice we use a dashed underlining here, as we did just a few lines up, to highlight this question. What's the significance of the 30-day waiting period? Ad shloishim yom ovid shliach shlichusei. Up till 30 days, we can rely on the parnas, on the agent, in carrying out his task. Tfei lo ovid shliach shlichusei. But more than that, you can't rely on him, and she'll be then left without the support that she duly deserves. V'boy esema, another approach to explaining how the neder takes hold. Shadiro kishi arusa v'niseis. The neder was taken when she was an arusa. V'niseis means, and then she got married. And now at this point in time, he is obligated to support her, but the neder was already chal. The Gemara asks, Niseis, what, she agreed to consummate the marriage? Well then, ha savra b'kibla, she agreed, she understood what she was getting into, that she is entering a marriage now where she's not going to get support. So why should we have to bother with a parnas to offer her any support to begin with? Answer, the Omra, she said, Kisvurani shani yochel lekabel. I thought that I would be able to manage, that I'd be able to accept this. Achshav einani yochel lekabel. But now I can't handle it, I can't tolerate it anymore. The Gemara asks, Eimar daminan hachi, gabi mumen, this logic or this approach of someone saying, I thought I could handle it, but I can't handle it anymore, that is something that we say with regard to blemishes. And we'll see more about that later in this perek. Le'inyin mezoni mi arinon hachi, but with regard to support, do we say such a svora that I thought I could handle it? This is something that that's obvious at the very outset. It's not something that with time your feelings will change. Rashi says, "Le'inyan mezoni mi aminon tzvura ha'isi." Can a person say, "I thought"? Yodas he she'ev shelo b'lo mezonos. She knows that she can't survive without mezonos. So the this explanation of that the vow was taken when she was in Nesua, and she went ahead and got married anyway, thinking that she could handle it, is a very weak explanation. You see that we don't use this logic in with regard to mezonos. Elo machvarto kidishaninon meikora. Rather, it's more it's clearer, it's more accurate, like we answered before. And as we answered before, he made the vow when they were still in Erusin, and the Erusin period, or that we say the 12-month period, the interim period, lapsed. The Gemara continues, Ad Shloishim Yom Yamid Parnas. As you can see, a new geometric form appears. As far as this sugya is concerned, the triangles that will appear in alternating directions. If you look on the side under the Nosei Mivne heading, you see this is a ma'akav, again, an attempt to keep track of the give and take. The point facing up represents she'elos, the inverted triangle represents tshuvos, responses. Eich parnas yochel lozunis ishto shel hamadir hanor. How can the parnas support the wife of a woman who is the subject of a neder? Hare ha-parnos oisa shlichus shalabal. The parnas is working as an agent of the husband. V'nimsa ha-baal oiver al-nidro. And with the husband providing the support through the agent, he himself then is viewed as supporting the wife, and that's a violation of his vow. Now the Gemara. U-parnas Lav shlichusei ko'ovid. Is the parnas, this agent, not in fact executing the instructions of the husband? And we have a principle that says shlucho shel adam kamoso. The agent of an individual is as if the original party is doing it. And if that's the case, so it's like the husband is supporting her and he's in violation of his vow. Omar Rav Huna. the Omer, the circumstances are, the husband says, Kol Hazon Eino Mafsid. It's not as if we have an appointed agent. We have the husband simply announcing publicly, anyone who supports her, his wife, they won't lose out. Which would indicate to any listener that if they voluntarily then support the man's wife, they'll receive compensation. But it's with that approach, it doesn't sound then like we're dealing with agency, and hence the husband is not in violation of the neder when this third party decides to support the man's wife. The Gemara asks, "V'chi omar hochi lav shlichusei kovid?" Statements like this of Kol Hazon Eino Mafsid, are you saying that's not considered agency? V'hotanan, we have a halacha coming from the realm of gittin, of divorce documents. Mi shehoya mushloch v'bor, a man was cast into a pit. V'omar, and he says, this is a married man, and he says as follows: Kol hashomea koloi yichtoiv get leishtoi. Anyone who hears this voice, meaning his own voice, shall write a divorce document for the wife. Hare elu yichtevu v'yitnu. Well, upon hearing that, they are then considered appointed as agents. Only a husband can divorce his wife. Some outsider can't come out of the blue and divorce someone else's wife. So in order for this other party, the listener of this announcement, to act, he has to be an agent. So, and the Mishnah says, Hare elu yichtevu v'yitnu. Upon hearing that, someone can then go write the get and give it to the woman, acting as an agent. That's agency. Otherwise, as we said, the woman wouldn't be divorced. So what do we see? We see this type of expression of this, we'll call this general announcement, is considered agency. So back to our case, by saying Kol Hazon Eino Mafsid, how in the world is that acceptable? Is that still not a problem of the violation of the vow? The Gemara says, Hochi Hashta. How can you compare the case involving the get with our case of the supporting of the woman? Hasam Ka'omar, in the case of the get, there was a key word that was used. Yichtov. Yichtov is a word of instruction. It's a command. Hacha mikomar yozun. In the case of the woman who's the subject of the vow, does the husband say yozun and an expression of instruction, of command? Kol hazon komar. It's an indirect. Let's say summons or plea, but it's not a direct command. It's cause on anyone who happens to support her. That's all that was said, and hence that doesn't constitute agency. Question: V'ho Amar Rabbi Ami, but the Leiko Hitiru Lomar. Rabbi Ami taught in the context of the laws of Shabbos. The laws of Shabbos entail 39 forbidden activities, and amongst them is the prohibition of extinguishing fires on Shabbos. And here we have a situation that, let's say someone's house is up in flames. He can't extinguish it. And other Jews, of course, are prevented from helping him. Gentiles that are in the vicinity, well, it says as follows, and that with regard to a conflagration, hetiru lomar, they allowed the following: kol hamechabe eino mafsid. Anyone who extinguishes the fire, it's a type of, let's say, a call out to the non-Jewish public. Anyone who comes to extinguish fire, they will not lose out. B'deleka l'mutei mai, Rav Ami said that we issue this permission, seemingly only in the case of Dleika, where otherwise, Rashi explains, people, when it comes to their funds, their possessions, their property, people, they lose their mind. They lose it. And if you don't give them some opening, some heter, some area of permission, they will on, and we're dealing, of course, on Shabbos, they'll go on their own and douse the flames, and thereby be in violation of a serious Shabbos sin. So Rav Ami says, in the realm with regard to Deleika, so we afford this way out, this option. So b'Deleika l'mutei mei, the Deleika is the example that in which we are lenient. Well, to the exclusion of what case would we not be lenient? Lav l'mutei ki hai gavna. Is it not so that the intention of Rav Ami is to exclude our case, something like our case? Once again, in the case of a fire, a person can make a general announcement. Anyone that comes along and puts it out won't lose out. But not a case where a vow was made against a wife and the husband would say, anyone who comes to support her won't lose out. No, that won't be acceptable. Only in Deleika do we accept that. The Gemara says, lo, when you asked what is Rav Ami coming to exclude, it's not coming to exclude our case. Limute shar isurim de Shabbos. It's coming to exclude other Shabbos-related cases. Where if a person says, anyone who will come to sew this garment won't lose out. So then we would say that is something you cannot say. You cannot propose that to the public. But with regard to things that are not Shabbos-related, Rav Ami wasn't coming to exclude those cases. Mosiv Rabba. Rabba raises an objection based on the following Tanaic source. Hamuder haname chavero v'ein lo ma yochal. You have two parties. You have Mr. A and Mr. B. And Mr. A declares that I don't want B to get any hanoh from me. But Mr. B has no source of food. He doesn't have anything to eat. Yelech etzel chenvoni horogi letzlo. Mr. A can go to a grocer that A is a regular customer of, the Yomar Lo, and say to the grocer, Ish ploni mudur hanoh mimeni. Mr. B is prohibited from benefiting from me. I vow that I don't want him to benefit from me. So I can't feed him. But the guy's going hungry. And I don't know what to do. Who, no saying lo, the grocer will provide Mr. B with food. Ubo the no-tail mizeh. And then the grocer will collect the bill, the prices, the costs from Mr. A. So what do we have? We have a situation here of someone who cannot eat, cannot benefit from another party, very similar to our Mishnah. And what we see is as follows. Hachi hu deshori. It's only through this method that we allow B to ultimately get food. Avol kol hazon eino mafsid lo, but some type of general announcement, that doesn't work. And the feeling is that it's not going to work, because it would be then still a problem of agency, and Mr. A cannot benefit Mr. B through others acting as his agent. So to explain our Mishnah as Rav Huna did, that kol hazon eino mafsid is the background behind the parnos case of the Mishnah, that just doesn't check out. It doesn't constitute a legitimate means of enabling a mudur hanot to benefit. The Gemara responds and says, "Lo mibaya ka'omar." This case with the grocer, this Tanaic source, is to be understood in the lo mibaya fashion. Lo mibaya, I don't have to tell you that kol hazon eino mafsid, that would work. That Mr. B can benefit with a statement like that. That's obvious. There, Mr. A, who prohibited Mr. B from benefiting, there Mr. A was talking to the general public. He was talking to the Lialmo. He's talking out there to the world. That's certainly okay if someone volunteers to support Mr. B. Avol hai, but the case of the grocer and Mr. A, who's a regular customer of his, kevon de rokil et slow, since A is a regular customer by the grocer, v'ka'ozul ko'omar lei, and Mr. A turns to the grocer, that guy over there is hungry and I don't know what to do, k'mon de'omar lei zil hav le'at, dummy. It's as if Mr. A was telling the grocer to function as his agent. You go and feed him. Oh, and if that would have been the case, if he would have actually said, you go give him, that would not be allowed. Kamash Malon, the source, informs us that if Mr. A presents the problem to the grocer the way he did, that it's okay. And it's not viewed as if he's an agent. But as we said, if Mr. A would have said, kol hazon eino mafsid, that certainly would have been okay. If someone out from the wide world would have come to support Mr. B. On the side, we have a topic heading, Hamuder Hanome Chavero, the Nikla Limitsuka, someone who was prevented from benefiting from someone else, and that the subject of the vow found himself in trouble. Ech b'chozos chaver yochel azar. How can the madir, the initiator of the vow, help anyway? Gufa, hamuder hanome chavero. You see, we have an aleph here. There are other cases that come under this heading of B being restricted from benefiting from A. That's the formula here of Hamudor Hanom Mechaver, one who is restricted from benefiting from his friend. Ve'ein lo ma yochal. And this is just a repeat of what we saw a moment ago. So, Holech Eitzel Chenvoni Horogi Letzlo, Ve'omelo Ishploni Mudor Hanom Mimeni, Ve'ein yode ma Aeselo, Hu no sein lo, Ubo Ve'notel Mizeh. Beisel Livnos, someone who is B cannot benefit from A, but B has a problem. B has a house that he needs built, a gederu ligdor, a fence that needs to be constructed, a sode elixir, and his field needs to be harvested. And Mr. B was hoping that he would get that Mr. A would help him out in these things, but now that Mr. A vowed not to benefit Mr. B, what can be done? Hoylechitzel poylin rigila metzlo. Mr. A can go to people that are workers, that he hires regularly. He goes to these workers that are regulars by him. The Omer Lohen, and he tells these fellows that provide services regularly for Mr. A. And Mr. A tells them the story. Ish ploni mudur hanomi. Many Mr. B cannot benefit from me because of the vow that I took. And I don't know what to do. Hey, no, Sunimo. The workers understood. They took the cue. They go and provide B with his needs. Then come to collect their pay from Mr. A. They're walking along and he doesn't have what to eat. Noisein li'acher l'shumatana. So again, we're following the same model of Mr. A and Mr. B. So Mr. A gives food to a third party as a gift. Take this as a gift. V'halo notel v'ochel umuter. And Mr. B then takes from the third party and eats. V'imein shom acher. And if there is no outsider, they're just alone, the madir and the mudar, the one who initiated the vow and the subject of the vow. Meniach hagabi haselo gabi hageder. The Mr. A will take the food that Mr. B needs. He takes the food, puts it down on a rock or on a fence. Viomer, and Mr. A announces, Harein mufkor lechol mishi achpots. I declare this unknown, mufkor, hefker, unowned for anyone that wants. Valo notel viochel umuter. And Mr. B, upon hearing this declaration, comes and takes. And it's okay. Rabbi Yossi Oyser. Rabbi Yossi does not permit that. Omarova, my time under Rabbi Yossi. Why is Rabbi Yossi prohibiting that? Answer, Gzeira Mishum. We continue at the top of Ayin Aleph, Amid Aleph, Maisa de Beis Choron. We can't allow this because of an incident that took place once in Beis Choron. Beis Choron is the name of a place. Here, we're going to be brief only because Rashi says, B'nidorim Perek Hashutf. This case, there was a case that arose in Beis Choron that was strictly forbidden, and if we would allow this to be, if we would allow this of Mr. A putting the food down and declaring it unknown, and Mr. B then benefiting from it, will come to allow more serious violations, as the Gemara here refers to it as Maisa de Beis Choron. So, anticipation of worse things happening, Rabbi Yossi prohibits that particular solution. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us in order to access marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.